Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Exodus chapter 34, God spoke to Moses from the cloud that hung over Mount Sinai, saying, "The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for the thousandth generation, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, yet by no means clearing the guilty, but visiting the iniquity of parents upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation." Now, hear what the word of the Lord said to the prophet Ezekiel in our reading for today. "What do you mean by repeating this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The parents have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, says the Lord God, this proverb shall no more be used by you in Israel. Know that all lives are mine. The life of the parent as well as the life of the child is mine. It is only the person who sins that shall die." In Exodus, God clearly declared that he would be faithful to the Israelites, abounding in steadfast love to the thousandth generation. On the other hand, if they turned away, God's judgment upon them would span the generations as well. Not only would the sinners be held accountable, but their offspring would be too, on down to the third and fourth generation. These words are hard to hear. Even if they do resonate with some conventional wisdom and even some researched wisdom. In our modern enlightened era, which we had talk about how enlightened we were in our adult class before worship here, science has verified that many of the sins of parents are passed on to their children. If you are an addict, your children are much more likely to become addicts also. If you are violent, your children are much more prone to violence themselves. And so on and so forth. So it makes sense. But still, when it comes to divine judgment upon sinners, there's something about God punishing children for the sins of their parents. It just seems wrong. Not only their children, but also their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, and their great-great-grandchildren. Even if this punishment resonates with our everyday experiences, somehow you would hope that God would be bigger than that. Well, flash forward a few centuries, or even a millennium, depending on which biblical archaeologists you talk to, and we find the Israelites facing exile in Babylon. By that point, they had had several kings and generations of idolaters and sinners of all sorts. They had long been scorning the poor and foreign-born. They had long been chasing after other gods and walking away from their devotion to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And yet, in our passage for this morning, Ezekiel, speaking the word of the Lord, tells the generation from the kingdom of Judah that they would be conquered, not because of anyone else's sin, but because of their own sin. It was they who brought about their own destruction, not anyone else. For them, as well as for us, it can be hard to own up to our own guilt and culpability when things get bad. All too often we get caught up in the finger-pointing game, thinking that all of our problems are somebody else's fault. Now, sometimes this is definitely the case. We didn't make our parents' and our grandparents' choices for them. So some of the problems we inherit from an earlier time are definitely not our fault. As Americans, I believe that most of us benefit by having ancestors who used their freedom to make our country better. They worked hard in peace and fought well in wartime. Yet I believe that we also inherit terrible legacies of prejudice and oppression that come from a past that we did not create. It is easy to point the finger and say, well, that was them, not me. Many of us do this all the time. But we don't stop there, do we? It's one thing to look 150 years in the past and say, I wasn't there, so it's not my fault. It's another thing to look around in the present and point fingers in every direction, saying and thinking things like, it's all the government's fault. Or everything that is wrong with this country is because of those people on the East Coast. Or, as is common around here, to blame California for all of our country's ills. I know some Montanans love to do that. But I believe that the prophet Ezekiel has a word for us this morning. He is saying that we must look no further than ourselves for the problems that we face in our own time. We are called to face the challenges and divisions of our era together, not resort to the name-calling, straw-manning, and derision that surely defines our time. Instead, it is up to us to practice respect, forgiveness, reconciliation, and understanding with those whom we disagree. We should not look to the future and wait for things to just get better one day somehow. Nor should we look to the past and pin our problems on those who came before. We've allowed ourselves in our country to be torn asunder and divided on all sorts of issues, swept up in the delusion that we share nothing in common with those who disagree with us. There have always been people of differing perspectives living in the same place at the same time. This is nothing new. What is unique to our time, though, is how extremely divided we have let ourselves become. Thanks to social media, cable news, internet channels, and a host of special interest websites and publications, it is now easier than ever to find people whom we agree with and only listen to them. Over time, if we only tune into those who agree with us, those we disagree with end up getting demonized more and more. We realize that there, when we tune in to these vast networks of like-minded individuals, we realize that there are a whole host of people who agree with us. So it seems obvious that everyone should share our viewpoints, right? Yet on the other end of the spectrum, there's a whole host of people who hold the opposite opinion on near every topic, from faith to the flag to the White House. And on their end, there's a whole host of people who agree with them and think that everyone should share their viewpoints. And thus, we come to the great divisions of our time, which seem to be irreconcilable. Some of the words from our passage for this morning speak to our issues, but are hard to hear. Verse 26 declares, "When the righteous turn away from their righteousness and commit iniquity, they shall die for it. For the iniquity they have committed, they shall die." The individual shall die for his or her own sins. Ominous. Cosmically terrifying. Now, verse 27 tries to give hope the other way, saying, again, when the wicked turn away from the wickedness they have committed and do what is lawful and right, they shall save their life. Yet even this is still disconcerting. Do right by God or else. Be righteous or you're going down. And these kinds of messages do not exactly make one feel that they are under the grace and care of a loving God. Yet, I believe that God's word of grace here for us this morning, it's in there, is that it is up to us It's up to us in our divided nation, living through divisive times, to change things for the better. Sure, we can sit and point fingers all day long until the cows come home, believing that all of our problems are somebody else's fault. Many of the issues that are so divisive in our country at the moment do have long histories that we can point to. Histories that surely start with somebody else. Healthcare costs were going through the roof long before the Affordable Care Act was passed. Just as the nation has been adding to our national debt more and more, almost every single year since World War II. Tensions over gun ownership go back much further than the first school shooting. Just as issues over racial equality and free speech are much older than the first person to take a knee at an NFL game. Our word from God for this morning is not that we get fixated on our past wrongs, thinking, if only they did this, then it wouldn't be so bad now. The past is the past. God is not calling us to make it better. God is calling us to focus on the here and now and how we can live as gospel-filled people in a divided country during divisive times. I'm sure you've all heard this at one point or another. The sentiment, all politics is local. I believe that this is a true sentiment which easily gets lost amidst the ceaseless noise coming from federal and international spheres. Or when my children speak up. The political noise from far away places distracts us and ultimately disenfranchises us by getting us focused on things that we have no power to change. I believe that we need to get back to realizing how all politics really are local and get active in making the changes that we can through our voting and in our communities. Not only that, we Christians can do even better. I believe that all ministry is local. Everything that we believe and do in the world comes down to how God is moving in the here and now between people that come together, break bread together, share the peace with one another, and pray to the Almighty as one people. Our call is not to save the world or to make sure that somebody else is Christian somewhere else far away. Our call is to encourage one another in this place, reminding each other that we are loved and forgiven by the grace of God, and encouraging one another to live lives that reflect the goodness of God. I want to posit one other final notion for you here. I really hope that everyone will hear this morning as well. All forgiveness is local. A major challenge of our digital age, in which people have the ability to incessantly hurl insults at people they do not know all across the world, is that it's hard to apologize and forgive somebody with the same ease that one can offend and harm online. It's nearly impossible to look somebody in the eye after having posted something offensive in a comment section and say, "I'm sorry." A conversation with real people, the awkwardness of a real interpersonal connection, makes it difficult not to apologize, at least in some fashion, when we've offended another face to face. The relationship kind of goes off the rails otherwise. The same is not true in the digital world, where there are all sorts of harmful, offensive, divisive things being said online at every moment of every day, which nobody is called to account for. Nobody has the opportunity to practice forgiveness over. But in our community, face to face. We have the opportunity every day to show grace to one another. We are not limited by our divisions in the same way that people communicating on the internet are. Here in the Mission Valley, we have the opportunity daily to show forgiveness to all of our neighbors, starting with the ones that we agree with the least. We can be leaders in practicing the grace and forgiveness which God desires for all of us. And I believe that we should be leaders in this realm. So I say to you, all of you here today, God has forgiven you and loves you in spite of your sins. Go and do likewise. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.